a shocking moment from pop music history now. It's about a scandalous song that created a wave of imitations that we would call today a meme, or we'd say it went viral. The song was entitled, I Love My Wife, But Oh You Kid.
Now Jonesy was a married man, oh yes, he was. Sweet girlie on the single plan, I guess, she was. Jonesy stopped and spoke to girlie, just as old friends often do. And he said, I'm married, but that but, my dear, means you. I love my wife. But oh, you kid.
I love my wife, but oh, you kid. And those clicks you heard were from The Wax Cylinder. It was recorded on in 1909. For this, we are indebted to Jody Rosen, the writer who has posted a long and entertaining multimedia meditation on this song this week on Slate. And he joins us from New York. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Robert.
What's the landmark in pop music represented by Oh, You Kid?
Well, you know, prior to 1909 and the release of this song, there really weren't any adultery songs. Mm-hmm. There were many, many songs of romance and songs that discussed very euphemistically and coyly the subject of sex. But in this song, though, the dramatic situation is clear. There's a guy named Jonesy. He sees an attractive, comely young woman in the street. And he says, oh, I love my wife, but oh, you kid, you're something else.
Oh, you kid. We have to deal with this phrase now.
Yeah.
This was a pickup line in 1909, I gather.
It was a pickup line. You know, Tin Pan Alley was a cutthroat environment where people were constantly ripping off each other's songs. There wasn't really copyright law as such back then. So there was a previous song that sort of inspired this song called Oh You Kid. It was a minor hit of 1908. Then another pair of songwriters wrote a song called I Love My Wife But Oh You Kid.
I mean every word I've ever told you. Kiss me quick or else I'll have to scold you.
Which came out 10 days before the song that we're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 days later, Harry Von Tilzer and Jimmy Lucas, who were better songwriters and who were obviously sharp entrepreneurs, they said, oh, there's something in that phrase. We're going to write our own version. So they wrote a song whose technical title is I Love, I Love, I Love My Wife, But Oh You Kid. In other words, they just added two more I Loves to the title. But the phrase Oh You Kid obviously suggested sauciness and adultery. And, you know, prior to this period, when those subjects were discussed, if they were ever discussed in popular music, the subject came up in novelty songs and in songs that were written for ethnic impersonators, so mainly for blackface impersonators, that is for people who would get up on stage and imitate African-American characters. And the suggestion was that that kind of romance was something that only the other participated in. And then the novelty of this song was that, quote unquote, normal white Protestant mainstream Americans lusted after people other than their spouses, too.
And the story you tell obviously proves that imitation was the sincerest form of songwriting at the beginning of the 20th century.
Yes. In fact, the first great hit by Irving Berlin was called My Wife's Gone to the Country, Hooray, Hooray, which was a spin-off song from I Love My Wife, But Oh You Kid. In fact, it alluded to that song in its lyrics.
My wife's gone to the country, hooray, hooray. I love my wife, but oh you kid, my wife's gone away.
Ultimately, perhaps inevitably, the tables were turned by the sexes. Sophie Tucker recorded her version of this kind of song.
All my husbands in the city are 100 miles away, and he only stays till Sunday. Hooray! Hurrah! Hurrah!
For those who never heard of Sophie Tucker, she was known as the last of the Red Hot Mamas.
Yeah, and you can hear why, right?
We're talking about 1909 or 1910, whenever these songs were coming out. We think of the roaring 20s. I didn't know that it was roaring so much in those days.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I found interesting about this song and what I find really interesting about this period in American popular culture in general. Yeah, we have this sort of image of this kind of sepia-toned image of this period, and we think of it as quaint. But in fact, a lot of the transgressiveness and salaciousness that we associate with rock and roll and hip hop and all that stuff happened in this period, in the progressive era. In fact, it wasn't just that these sorts of songs were being written and were incredibly popular and young people were going to dance them in dance halls and things like that. It's the reaction of social reformers and kind of guardians of public morality to these songs that show us that the same kinds of moral panics that greeted those other later forms of popular music. The same thing was going on in this period. So, for instance, the song I Love My Wife But Oh You Kid was met by thunderous denunciations from pundits in newspapers, from clergy. It was indeed a viral hit, but it also drove these guardians of public morality a little crazy because they were concerned about its toxic effect on public morality and especially on young women.
Well, Jody Rosen, thanks for talking with us about it.
Thanks for having me.
Jody Rosen's article in Slate includes the sound files you've just heard and pictures of sheet music. It's a terrific multimedia story about Oh You Kid.
Just think, when I get home tonight, there'll be no wifey there. And right across the table I will see a vacant chair. I love my wife. Oh, I love my wife. I love her more each day. I love my wife. I love my wife.